This week on Making Contact.
We have a consultant that came in recently, and she actually described our school as apartheid land because she saw who was coming in and out of the counseling office.
At overcrowded and underfunded public schools across the country, high suspension rates are exacerbating existing achievement gaps. Often, chaos in the classroom is to blame, but is there a solution?
I think of mindfulness as a tool or a skill.
On this edition, we'll hear excerpts from Russell Long's film, Room to Breathe, which takes us to a middle school in San Francisco, California, that began teaching mindfulness in the hopes of giving students the skills they need to focus on learning. I'm Jen Chien, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information.
All right, time to ring the bell.
Hey, partner up, everybody!
My name is Ling Bush. I'm a seventh grade counselor at Marina Middle School.
Gotta go to the end of the line. Nice try, Deshaun.
We're one of the larger middle schools. We have a student population of about 900.
There is a significant number of our students that don't see school as a place for them. I always say it by saying they don't do school.
One disruptive kid can take away any learning that goes on in the classroom. So other kids want to misbehave because they think everybody's misbehaving.
When the class is crazy and throwing pencils and messes up my concentration fully. So the thing I do is I just sit in my chair and do nothing.
Chris, turn around, get on task.
I have sent out and suspended from my classroom more students than I have in a long time. I just find the behavior to be completely off the wall and unacceptable, not just toward me, but toward each other.
What is going on with you two? Get out a piece of paper. Science.
Science.
There's sort of this sense of nonstop entertainment, and whatever's happening in the lesson often becomes secondary.
Do not misspell the word amphibian.
Anyways, I forgot what I was saying.
Their engagement is tied to the drama that's happening in the yard, it's happening on Facebook, and they are consumed by it. And so it just continues on in the classroom.
Stop kicking me.
Did you see what this freaking whale just did?
With that many bodies in a classroom, when somebody needs to be moved off to a corner, there are no corners because there's already somebody there. Well, I've given up. I just put them next to each other because I'd rather have them talking and yelling and carrying on next to each other than across the room.
We would all learn much more if nobody really was talking or getting distracted. We would all like have our grades up. We would all be good kids and everything. I know we're good kids. We're smart. But sometimes, I guess we're too lazy to show it.
No, what the f- you stupid bitch. So nobody likes you ugly.
Gerardo does get angry sometimes and seek out a challenge. It has really brought him down in terms of his academic performance.
I'm not the only one that fools around.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm not.
If I get frustrated, I get hot, and then after, I get cold, all the heat goes away.
I just finished all my work, you know, right?
It's not a good feeling that I have.
Middle school boys have trouble sitting still for long periods of time and focusing at their desks. This really doesn't work for them in general, but that's the way school looks. That's how it's structured.
Malik, go sit over there by Jacqueline.
No.
I really fear for these kids who don't put forth the effort. They don't try. They don't persevere.
Next word. Next word. What sound?
How can you put together a relationship? How can you stay at a job when it's not fun if you have not learned to persevere?
You're not going to help yourself be successful when you're behaving like this. Omar?
What?
This is not the way to help yourself.
I do like learning new stuff, but if they're teaching it in a difficult way that I don't understand, then I'm just gonna stop trying.
You know what? I don't wanna hear any arguments about
it. I know I could do better by just turning my homework.
We have a consultant that came in recently, and she actually described our school as apartheid land, which I was at first a little bit offended by, but after thinking about it, I understood what she meant. Because she saw who was coming in and out of the counseling office. I don't want to see you in here with another referral today, Gerardo.
It's our Latino and African American kids who are underachieving, who don't feel like they're part of the school, and we have to address that. We have to make those kids part of the school, and we have to allow those students the opportunities and, in fact, get them to achieve at a higher level. Moises. Why are you out of class, buddy?
We are suspending at a rate higher than any other middle school in this city.
And I know that that has to stop.
Something that would benefit all of the kids had to happen across all of the students. So when one of our therapists talked about the idea of going into the classroom to teach meditative strategies, which would reduce conflict, increase focus, you know, we were like, that's perfect.
My name is Megan Cowan, and I am here from an organization called Mindful Schools. We go into classrooms and teach something called mindfulness. I'm going to be visiting your classroom twice a week for just 20, maybe 30 minutes. There are going to be periods of time that are totally silent.
So what, are we going to be meditating?
So let's raise your hand if you want to have a question.
The biggest misconception is that mindfulness is spiritual or religious. Although it can be traced back to very traditional practices, it can be used in a secular way to address issues in society today.
What we're going to try right now is just what I call a mindful posture. Just lift off your chair momentarily for a few. We're going to do this for about 2 minutes maybe. And then notice if anything in your body is moving, like if your leg is bouncing or your foot's moving or your fingers are moving.
I think of mindfulness as a tool or a skill.
Society and our culture is training us to not be focused. So technology is causing us to jump from one thing to the next constantly all the time. And when we're asked or required to focus on something, our brain actually is not prepared to do that. It's not trained to do that. So I think on a very practical level, it's just creating more focus in our lives.
And try to let everything become still. And notice if this is uncomfortable.
It's not uncomfortable.
And if you feel the need to talk.
It really teaches about increasing impulse control so that we get more choice around our actions.
Okay, now relax. Keep your attention with me. Yeah, tell me why you didn't like it.
It was all right. Then later, I couldn't feel my body, and it felt kind of weird on my legs. So, like if I got shot or something, I don't know.
You know what, you guys? We're gonna have to figure out some way to make this work since I'm gonna be here 15 times.
15 times?
Yeah, mindfulness actually is training you to be comfortable when you're not being entertained. When the sound of the bell is completely gone for you, raise your hand.
We're just trying not to be our normal selves in class. When she came in, we're usually loud and we yell across the room and we just get up from our seats and like crack jokes and stuff. But like, it was kind of hard.
Can you turn this way? So put your hand on your belly and everybody take one deep breath that only you can hear. And then take three breaths, noticing if you feel it in your chest.
When Megan first came to teach the first mindfulness class, I was like, get out of here. I don't even want to do this. It was fun throwing pencils and stuff, you know? Not listening to teachers is always fun, but it's not the thing to do.
No.
I didn't ask if you wanted to.
Yes, you did.
So I know there's some distraction, but we're just gonna continue. Hey guys, what's your name again?
Rusty Shackelford.
So Matt, Rusty Shackelford, can you help me out by just having your attention up here? Okay.
It's not like it's hard to reach them, it's just that they wanna act like they don't really care about nothing. But I know that they do care. They're trying to act like they're tough. Or try to act like, oh, I'm better than this, you know? When they're really not better than that.
Raise your hand if something about a minute of mindful breathing was unpleasant.
I'm not used to it being so quiet. I live in San Francisco for a long time, so you always hear like cars and stuff. And it wasn't noisy, so.
Okay, so you're used to the noise in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So raise your hand when the sound of the bell is gone.
Oh, we're supposed to be going to lunch.
It's like hitting a brick wall. I just am frustrated and kind of hopeless. The defiance is so deliberate, and I don't know if I can work with that in this large of a group. So I sat down with Mr. Braxton and Ms. Bush to ask how I should respond to this class. The problem that I'm meeting with these kids in particular is that four kids are being deliberately disruptive at the expense of 30 other students.
You know, we're a public school. We take everybody where they're at and we do the best job we can with them. And the idea that 30 kids are waiting for five kids or that somehow these kids are the victims or they're not getting something at the expense of others. That's a paradigm I prefer not to set up, that some get and some don't, and that we sacrifice five so that others do. We should give the same thing to everybody. It may not come in the same way though, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with that.
Let's take this one day at a time, and today we'll take those four out for the class. Mm-hmm.
And then reintegrating them when that class comes back together as a whole, it's not foreign to four kids in the class.
Right.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. Because of listeners like you, this program is distributed for free to radio stations in the US, Canada, and Australia. Luz M. wrote us this note.
Your radio programs are a breath of fresh air and much needed in a world where commercialized media is not altogether honest or helpful in addressing difficult issues.
Tell us your thoughts. Leave a comment on our website, radioproject.org, or through Facebook or Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. We now return to Room to Breathe, as mindfulness teacher Megan Cowan attempts to teach mindfulness to seventh graders at Marina Middle School in San Francisco.
When I wake up in the morning and it's the day that we're teaching at this school, I have a mixture of mild dread and also some determination of what can I do today. So I want to get creative and figure out how to reach them. I'm going to have you guys start leading mindfulness.
Please lay your eyes closed.
Okay, thank you. All right, you guys, what do you think is your biggest influence in your life? Leslie?
Dad.
Dad? Jacqueline?
My sister.
Okay, so we've got dad, sister, Gerardo.
Art.
Art. Would you be surprised if I told you the biggest influence in your life is your mind? And when we practice mindfulness, you're strengthening your mind to have the influence on your life that you want it to have.
And when we practice mindful breathing, we're developing the strength of our mind to have influence on us.
It was hard to sit still and to like not move my hands or anything. It was just to like, okay, I just need to calm down and like help myself to stop moving to see if it works or not.
One way that we can create influence in our life with our mind is by having thoughts on purpose rather than thoughts on accident. So go ahead and get back into a mindful position. I'm gonna say a phrase. So the first thing I want you to repeat silently in your mind is, I wish for myself to be happy. Then try the wish, I wish for myself to be healthy. And now create a wish in your mind that is specific to yourself, whether it's something you want to accomplish, a quality that you want to have, something you want to do. I wish for myself, you fill in the blank.
It just helps you like relax and forget about everything else.
Is anybody willing to say what they wish for themselves?
An easier life.
Thank you, Gerardo.
To do better in school.
Great.
In his class.
Thank you. You wish to do better in school, particularly Mr. Enley's class. Yeah.
I want to move to Alaska.
You wish to move to Alaska?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. Raise your hand if this was the first time that you had thoughts on purpose about your happiness. Okay. I want you three times today, wish yourself happiness. Okay? But your challenge is to remember to do it. And I want to express my deep appreciation for your participation today. But that room really shifted today, and I felt like the students really participated in a way that was helpful to them as an each individual, but also as a classroom. Okay. Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Enley.
I have thoughts about the mindfulness program. I'm perfectly willing to participate, and I hope it helps students in learning and effectively using the opportunity that is their middle school experience.
Good morning again.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
We're gonna go into mindful listening. I encourage you to have an open mind this morning while we try something that you probably haven't done before. Keeping your attention on sound, listen to the sounds outside the room. And then focus on the sounds inside of you.
At first, well, I thought she was like a voodoo person because of what she was wearing.
You guys got really mindful. Can you identify how you felt listening to the sounds outside?
I was a little impatient.
A little impatient?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to moving and, yeah, chatting a lot.
You're used to moving and chatting. Exactly. So try to be mindful of sounds outside, inside yourself. And I will see you on Monday. Thank you again, you guys. That was great.
Mindfulness program is, it's all right. It's okay. I think it only helps certain kids that really is interested in it.
Today I brought you something. What I brought is something that we can eat. Raisins.
Okay.
Okay, so somebody tell me your three reactions. Yeah.
My first reaction, I was excited. Second one, I was like, okay. My excitement kind of went away. You said raisins. I don't eat raisins.
I'm gonna hand them out. So just hold it right now. Don't eat them yet. So what I'd like you to do is open your mouth. We're gonna do this quietly. And take a whole minute to chew it.
Whole minute.
And what I want you to pay attention to is how your raisin changes.
We want to bring mindfulness into our entire experience, not just sitting still with our eyes closed.
The next time you are eating something that you like, I want you to be mindful of it so that you can experience it differently than you have in the past. Okay? Thank you, you guys. Have a great rest of your week. I'll see you next week.
This morning I used mindfulness because my mom, she was yelling at me because I didn't get up in the morning. And I was just mad. I was just gonna like lock the door and like go back to sleep and not go to school today. But then like I chilled for a little bit. I used mindfulness real quick and it made me feel more calm. It kind of woke me up too. Again in school.
Good morning. While you're doing mindful breathing, I'm gonna deliberately make a little bit of noise. And using the anchor words, breathing in and breathing out, will help you stay focused on your breathing even when there's some distraction or chaos. Breathing in, breathing out.
I wasn't surprised in the beginning. When things got quiet, people would like make fart noises and stuff. But now when she rings the bell, we could be like yelling and stuff and fighting, but we still know when that bell rings that we stop.
All right, can I get somebody to lead today? Do you want to, Omar?
Get in a mindful posture.
Ebony.
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be kind, though. Say it in a nice way.
Ebony, can you please sit up? Thank you.
Thank you. Better.
Well.
How do you feel
right now? Relaxed.
Relaxed?
Yes, all right. It's cool.
All right, nicely done. Thank you very much. Let's see. Jennifer, do you want to lead? All right. And go ahead and ring it.
My voice kind of did surprise me. I didn't think I was ever going to use it, but I did. And we were outside in the yard, and then some girl just made me mad.
She was bitch ass like Ruby!
I just felt like pulling her hair out and dropping to the floor and choke her. I used my fingers to calm down and not do nothing. I like not because there's consequences for that. I kind of feel happy because I get to really think about the things and not make a mistake that I will regret doing it later on.
Move over!
Him and Metro.
Good morning. Can you raise your hand if you're willing to say when you use mindfulness since I saw you on Wednesday? Jacqueline?
Thursday.
Because there was a problem.
And what kind of mindfulness did you use?
Breathing.
And why did you decide to use breathing?
Because she told me to calm down.
So Leslie was with you and she told you to calm down?
Mm-hmm.
And did it work or help or change anything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Will you say anything more about it?
There's nothing else to say.
Okay. I wanted to know if you as a class have ever done mindfulness without me.
Yes. No.
Yeah.
Okay. I wondered if you had a bell, would the classes that best sustain mindfulness, the teachers and the students continue to use the bell even when the program is finished?
Mindfulness was worth the class time.
No doubt about that. It makes them feel like they have more control over themselves and their behavior, and that they aren't simply victims of external circumstances. The volume of a circle, pi times radius squared, and then...
The role of the teacher has expanded. The biggest challenge that we have is changing our systems and structures within these school buildings so the kids can fit in. If you go and you look at database indicators that help students learn, self-reflective behavior is way up on that list. And that's one of the things that many of our good learners bring that others don't bring to the school. And so a program like this that helps teach kids that and helps it become a part of the practice within the school and reinforces that is going to help them.
Okay, so today is our last day of mindfulness. Matt. So if you have a reaction or something to say, I want you to just notice it in yourself. If you cannot control your impulse, you have to ask yourself, who's in control? Mindfulness doesn't make problems go away. It's a wrong assumption to think that if you practice for a long time, you'll never be angry again, or you'll never have another problem, or no one will ever be mad at you. That's not the point at all, and you can never create that situation. It's that the way you're meeting your experience changes to allow more lightness and more happiness. I did bring something for you today. Matt, do you want to say something?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it raisins?
No.
Is it raisin bran?
No. They're called pocket hearts. Whenever you see it or feel it or remember it, I want it to be something that reminds you that you have a tool now that you can use for the rest of your life.
Seeing how my dad works, like, it's stressful. I think I would want to use it if I was stressed. That's like something in your backpack, you know? It's always there, you can just pull it out and use it.
Once you have your heart, I want you to think about how school would be different if everyone practiced mindfulness. Yeah.
No bullying?
No bullying, yeah. Why do you think that would make no bullying happen?
Because many people have been getting bullied by people who are picking on them.
Yeah.
And I get distracted when many people teasing me and bothering me about everything. I just like going to a private place, saying all my thoughts inside of me, what I feel. Nobody is there to look and say anything I do.
It'd make a difference if the whole world used mindfulness. A lot of people wouldn't be killed. There would be less shooting.
All right, everybody. I wish you a happy summer. And if I don't see you next year, a happy eighth grade. And take care. Thank you.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. You've been listening to a radio adaptation of the film Room to Breathe, directed and produced by Russell Long. For a CD copy of this program, call the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736 or check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like Making Contact on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. Lisa Redman is our executive director. Andrew Stelzer and George Lavender, producers. Irene Flores, web editor, Lisa Bartfi, Salima Hamirani, and Aaron Mathewson, production interns, and Barbara Barnett, Dan Turner, and Alton Bird, volunteers. I'm Jen Sheehan. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.